Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We're just talking about Dwayne Wade gave his mother a $2 million church building. Hello, son. Also talking about what's taking place with the Attorney General is saying that homeschool is not a constitutional right, and they're getting involved in constitutional law in Germany, trying to say somebody should not receive asylum in America because of religious persecution in Germany. What are you doing over there? Why are you even bringing that up? You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. And so much more we're talking about in the first hour. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour about a dream that a young man about 7 years old named Cooper had about Revelation, really. The book of Revelation, something taking place. And it's like the time is coming. Our Lord and Savior is going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, riding on a white horse and leading us in procession. We'll talk more about that. Also, we talked about the first hour. T.L. Osborne has passed away. T.L. Osborne has passed away. A man of God has done great things. And this extra hour, we're going to be talking about the Black History Month, about Dr. Carlson and his journey, but also about those that served in the military as doctors and how history didn't recognize them. The top three from the VFN Torch and the Wisdom Moment. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Man, that was just so amazing to see how Dwayne Wade bought his mother a $2 million building and her whole journey. You got to catch that. If you haven't caught that, you got to catch that on the VFN Torch, or go to your app and just listen to the VFN TV app and just hear what her journey was. What Pastor Jolanda's journey was, Jolinda's journey was, and which is Jolinda Wade, and it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Totally amazing how don't judge things before their time, because you just never know.
It ain't over till God says it's over, right?
That's right. If you would have, you know, looked at my life at a certain stage of my life, the last thing you'd think is I'd be here.
I know.
And if you look at Pat's life, if you look at Pat's life, there's just no way.
Absolutely not. Now, Chris.
Okay, right.
I was waiting for that.
Of course, we can't top John, though.
No, actually, you know, he was walking on water when he was...
I was just talking about that last night. It's a miracle. All
walking on water. I mean, he's so holy. When he got his baby got put into the bath water, the water just parted. You know what I'm saying?
Cricket.
Right.
X. Moving on. Right.
He's shaking his head. Oh, he's shaking his head. That sign language for, oh my goodness. Well, this 7-year-old young man named Cooper has had a dream before. You can see it on the VFN Torch. Hopefully it'll be available today on the most recent post of he saw heaven. Mm-hmm. And he took crayons and colored the picture out what it looked like, and it was amazing. I mean, he drew the river of life and the trees,
yeah,
and the whole aspect Angel. Of it. And this young man's not reading the book of Revelation. God's giving him in a dream the book of Revelation.
Cooper's 8,
he's
by the
seven.
Way.
Cooper's 8.
Yeah.
Cooper's 8 years old. And he was 7 when he had the dream about heaven. Now he's 8. But it was just exciting to hear. And by the way, if you have not yet heard, God does speak. Mm. God does speak. And this may be shocking to you, that he speaks to his people, mm-hmm, in dreams and in vision and through his words. And you can... I've lost one of my guys on the program here. He's like, he's just like looking at the wall,
just,
you know.
He's gone.
Like, just gone. He's just gone.
Come
he's
back,
gone.
Please.
When you get to my age, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, nothing like that. 50, 60 years old. The and so, in the context of that we're seeing, when you walk with God, what we're seeing is God's voice. It just resounds, and we have ears to hear. Prior to just being religious and doing church and going to church instead of being the church, the Lord's voice was not that prevalent in his body. It wasn't that he wasn't speaking. It's that people did not have ears to hear. But we find out when you begin to abide with the Lord that he gives you ears to hear. And here is a young man. He's 8 years old. His name's Cooper. And this is happening all over those who are abiding with God. And you can begin to abide with God. Well, you can find out at iabide.org and begin to listen to the voice of God. Go to VFN TV and watch. God does speak. And it'll encourage you. It'll really encourage you and begin to see, oh, my goodness, that's how this all happens. God tells us and teaches us and tells us what to do, and we follow him. We hear and we obey. And in this particular dream, you know, Cooper is he's walking to the bus stop with his mother, Nicole, and he just starts talking about, hey, Mom, I've been having all these dreams about Jesus. What do you think this means? She's like shocked.
Like, what?
Yeah, right. And so he starts telling her a little bit about him, and one of them, well, I just won't talk about that one, but it was just, you know, loving Jesus, loving Jesus that he is. But he begins to talk about, he said, most of the dreams I have are he's in the sky. This is in the sky. All right. And that he said that the last time he saw Jesus, do you want to tell it?
No.
Getting the right thing going
you're
on.
Doing great.
Like, I feel like I'm getting graded on up there and right here. You're I gotta make sure he goes, right. That's right. That's right. Like Jiminy Cricket.
You're doing great, man.
Thank
Go for
you.
It. Go for it.
So anyway.
Yay.
So anyway, I'm like, oh my goodness, I gotta make a C or better on this. Somebody's looking at me.
No pressure. Come on, yeah.
He is in heaven, he's in the skies, and he's riding a white horse. And all of us, quote, he says, is in heaven with him, and he has all these Christians, if you would, riding with Jesus, which is, if you read about it, it's Revelation, they were coming in to be able to trample out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. and he's fighting the you're right. I knew you'd love that. I'm surprised you knew that. Anyway, he's battling this dragon. You know, what does a young kid know about a dragon? But the fact is, that's exactly what happens, where Satan is portrayed as a dragon, and Jesus throws this golden sword at him or whatever, fights with the sword, and it goes into the chest that kills the dragon with his golden sword.
It was a spear.
Or spear. A B. I got a B. It's a 98%.
That's just helping you.
No, you're right. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. A sharp object.
Yeah,
a golden sharp object. I knew. I could tell he was great in me. I knew he was great in me.
Was the finger?
Oh, dude, he's watching. He's staring at me. He's like, I was back in the reservoir of his mind. Okay, that's a 64. That's a 98 percentile. Anyway, so getting back to the 8-year-old innocent boy, that God's just speaking to him, and it's like end time. It's end time is kind of what we're hearing, and of course we're hearing it from more than an 8-year-old boy. But God's just confirming that, listen, everybody knows in part and prophesies in part, but everybody that thinks they're all knowing or is all lying, because God is the only one that's all knowing. That's right. And the truth is, everybody who speaks arrogantly today about tomorrow will soon die and be with God. And we're left with what we did with God, not what some man told us. And the truth is, only God knows the day that these things are going to come to pass, and it could be tomorrow. It could be tomorrow. Israel's surrounded. I mean, they very well could begin to cry out to God, and all of a sudden, you know, that they turn to God. The blinders could be removed. The veil could be removed. The one world economy would happen now if everybody would just bow down to it. I mean, if people would say, okay, take it. I mean, it's there. The technology is there today to be able to do it today. But the struggle is getting people to bow down to it. Of course, all you need is just a big crisis.
Right.
And nothing like a few meteorites coming out of heaven to be able to change people's minds. Like, it's kind of like the whole universe is cooperating with this end time fulfillment of what's taking place. And and it's like, it could be tomorrow. This battle, what's exciting is that what Revelation lets us know, which is the revelation of Christ being revealed, is that God defeats the dragon. He defeats Satan. And Satan ends up being the very Satan that put all these lies out, that deceived people since the time of the garden,
that led a third of the angels into rebellion against God, who created all this havoc on the earth by lying to men and men believing it, is that he'll be put down in this hole, and people will look at him and you'll say, is this who did all this?
Mm-hmm.
Which really, when you think about it, you're thinking, I better quit giving him so much credit and right. realize mm-hmm. it's just me believing what he says.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just me believing. We empower Satan. We empower fear when we give it validity by believing. Because fear is the devil's faith to bring to pass his will. But faith is God's confidence. It's God's faith to bring to pass his will. When God says something, we believe what he says. Well, if Satan says something, you know, and you know, fear and whatever, and you buy into that, you're going to find out that's exactly what happens in your life, because faith works either way. It mm-hmm. works. It works up or it works down. It mm-hmm. works good or it works bad. And so, I just really just see these things happening as we're talking about in the first hour. It's just that things are just wisdom's crying aloud, saying, you know, the time has come,
mm-hmm.
and everybody would like to think that hey. They have it all figured out. But the truth is, even Jesus himself, the one who died for us, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us, who forgives us, who administers his spirit in the church to be able to empower us, he doesn't know. And if he don't know, quit giving all that credit to some man somewhere you're thinking that he knows.
That's right.
Make sure you're ready to go. You know, work for God like he's not coming back for 100 years. Live for God like he's coming back today.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll do those that one way of living your life. It doesn't matter when he comes. You'll be ready. And you mm-hmm. would not left for regret because you're working for God. And I just want to encourage you with that. I don't know if you noticed or not, my son-in-law, Blake, went to Alabama this week to be able to do some drag racing. And he got to race his car a couple of times, but on the third race, I believe it was it just blew up. The motor just blew.
Wow!
And
wow,
when he pulled the cover off the motor, I guess the head, not when the head, the plate, but the
top. I think the head.
That the head's like metal. It's not like solid. A head is that metal cover, right?
Well, you get your valve cover on top.
Your valve cover. Mm-hmm. When he pulls the valve cover off, he sees all these metal shavings inside there.
Ooh.
That's not a good sign.
And just like the blood of the car is pouring out from underneath it.
It's not good.
The oil. And but he said, you know, he said that he might be able to get it going for the drag races happening up in over in Gainesville. But that's amazing. That's totally amazing.
Hmm.
Traveling at these high rates of speed for.
How fast can he get up?
He beat his last score, his last race. We were headed that way when the motor blew out. So we were going to be there.
Oh, wow.
And so we didn't get a chance to see the first three races. We were going to watch the rest of the races. And mm-hmm. There was no rest.
Oh.
There was no rest of the races. So I know that he beat his last score, or last speed, and I can't remember what it was. So I'll have to find that out and to let you know.
Fantastic. Well, you know, it's time. It's time for the top three of the VFN Torch. And we do want to go ahead and share the Torch of the top three. And the first one I want to share with you is if you would have listened. If you would have listened. And this is a great segment because we're talking about Proverbs. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about paying attention to the voice of the Lord. We're talking about paying attention to the messengers and the warnings. And if is a very powerful two-letter word, if, you know, because it stands in the way. And the word God says in Proverbs 1:23 said, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. And the thing is that, you know what? God is continually warning us and letting us know because he loves us. I love that statement that you even said earlier, Greg, that, you know, red lights, it would be cruel not to have red lights on an intersection. The whole fact that there's red lights and there's signs, they're there to warn us. They're there to let us know that we need to stop because if not, something's going to happen.
That's
you know,
right.
And
it's a mercy. It's love and mercy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To have a stop sign or a red light at an intersection. And God's warning us. It's like he's not wanting us to crash.
That's right.
He's not wanting to experience disaster.
That's right.
Well, we can take heed today if we just listen to the Lord and receive what he's telling us, receive the warnings, receive his love. He will open himself up and he will pour himself out to us. It's one of the great blessings we have when we're spending time with the Lord and we're abiding and we're hearing his voice. We can begin to respond to the voice of the Lord, but it's if we turn, if we respond, if we listen. The second one I want to share with you is the power of thoughts. And it was really so powerful. Again, you can catch all these highlights on The Torch by going to VFNTV.com. And we share about how important our thoughts are, that our thoughts, our inner thoughts, really affect our outside world, that everything that we begin to do with an action first begins with the inward thought. And we talked about how dark thoughts will take you to dark places. And it really matters. It really matters what's running wild in your mind.
Ever how a man thinks he is, so is he in his heart, right?
So is
That's
he.
Right.
So is he.
Somebody goes, well, why is my life like this? Because your thought life is like that.
That's right. Got some stinking thinking.
Right. You know? Somebody says, well, I don't think. What do you do? Well, I sit in front of media for, you know, umpteen hours a week. Oh, so that actually is what's going inside of you. That's what's going inside of you. Is it working?
That's right. That's right. Sometimes we talked about it. It's just a great analogy. I thought we were sharing about this, that these thoughts come up like wild horses, wild running horses come up to you and say, come on and jump on me. Get on this thought. And if you saddle up on that thought will begin to take you deeper and deeper and deeper. If it's a bad, evil thought, it will take you into deeper and deeper into sin. It'll completely destroy you because you'll keep just, you know, going after it. You know, thoughts are like a going through like a conveyor belt. And we have a choice that we can either take that thought off that conveyor belt and continue to think about it. We can let that thing go and say, you know what, I'm not going to think about that. It could be a fiery dart for the enemy. It could be something you just saw. But you're not going to take that thought off the conveyor belt and make it your own. And it's so, so important. And we just got to remind it the power of these thoughts, because sometimes you can be so locked into your own mind, into the own thing that you're thinking. You can blank out for hours, and it's like, wait a minute, what has been running through your mind? And we can have the thoughts of God on our mind, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's excellent. The Word of God says, think on these things. So it's, you know, we can't turn off our mind, but we can redirect our mind. And I love, you know, the Word of God tells us to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. We can love God by intentionally directing and focusing our mind on him and the things of God. And the more you think about the Lord, the more he'll flood your heart and flood your soul. We could meditate on the Lord's scriptures. I want to encourage you, the power of thoughts. And the last one we want to talk about.
You think about
today,
this too. I mean, every sin begins with a thought. Now, it might not be a thought about that particular sin, but it's a conjoining thought that will conjoin itself with another thought, to another thought. So eventually it gives you conceive, sin becomes conceived inside of you. And you can't just keep thinking about things God says don't think about. And that's so, so very important. That's so good, John. And yeah, I encourage everybody to go to the VFN Torch and listen, or top three, and listen to that on the VFN Torch. We're going to be right back in just a moment with the next one. I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier, you know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to himself. And, you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on BFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Right. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves, how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if it's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epi center moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings, and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family, you know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray. you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am your host, Rick Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about the, this is Black History Month. This is Black History Month, and we want to be able to remember those that have gone before us and our fellow citizens, African-American citizens that served us in a lot of different capacities in the military and just did some awesome things in our history, that they, those in the past edited that out, edited them out of history. And what's so exciting is to see how God is correcting history. He is correcting history. And in that, we're starting to see how, how we all work together, this, the enemy denied everybody's part of those plays. Matter of fact, listen up right now. And you know, it's 150-year anniversary since the Emancipation Proclamation has been signed by President Abraham Lincoln and this year. And we're able to look back and begin to see. But I want you to hear about some doctors, some African-American doctors in the Civil War and their journey, and they stayed steadfast. Listen up.
Well, this year marks the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery had divided America, but few people knew how many black men who had been set free who joined the Union Army, including several African-American doctors. Charlie in Israel has a story that maybe few of us have ever heard.
Two subjects fascinate retired physician Dr. Robert Slauson: history and medicine. Medical history is a particular interest, especially contributions by African Americans. In his research, Slauson found that a handful of black men served as doctors in the Civil War, something he writes about in his book, Prologue to Change: African Americans in Medicine in the Civil War Era. When President Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves in 1863, nearly 200,000 blacks joined the Union Army.
Of the physicians we've identified as serving with the Army, three of them were commissioned officers. The other nine were contract surgeons. The things they were doing as doctors, mostly it was taking care of disease anyhow. You know, they would do examinations, they would take care of the people with the sick, give medicines.
Dr. Alexander T. Augusta was a veteran of the American Civil War and the first commissioned black officer in the U.S. Army. He's also the first black officer to be buried here in Arlington National Cemetery. Born to free parents in Norfolk, Virginia, Alexander Augusta learned to read, even though it was illegal and dangerous. His dream of becoming a doctor in the 1800s seemed almost impossible, and the University of Pennsylvania denied his application to medical school. Augusta would not give up and traveled to Canada, enrolling at Toronto's Trinity College, where in 6 years, he received a degree in medicine.
It's hard for me to even imagine the challenges that they had faced, because it had to be magnitudes harder than what those of us who are black doctors now went through.
Dr. Michelle Gourdine is a physician, author, and expert in preventative health and wellness. She says the hardships faced by black medical professionals before her serve a great encouragement and example to her and other blacks.
On top of it being a very difficult and challenging subject matter to have to understand, but to do that in an atmosphere where you were considered less than, where you were considered to be second rate or second tier, where you did not have all of the resources that you need in order to succeed, and then to be able to achieve anyway.
In 1862, after returning to the U.S., Augusta wrote a direct appeal to President Lincoln, offering his services as a surgeon in the Army. After many roadblocks, he earned a commission in the Union Army. Time in the Army was difficult, both on and off the battlefield. Most black surgeons in the war worked in military hospitals or recruiting stations because many white surgeons refused to serve alongside or under their command on the battlefield.
He had two assistant surgeons in the regiment with him, and they were white, and they rebelled, obviously. The senior assistant surgeon said, you know, it's not right. There's no other white man working for a black man, and I shouldn't have to do it either.
Dr. John Van Surley de Grasse of Massachusetts was one exception. He and other black doctors in the Civil War were of mixed race and could easily pass as white. After volunteering in May 1863, de Grasse received a commission as assistant surgeon with the 35th United States Colored Infantry, one of only three African-American physicians to do so. He was the only black surgeon to serve in the field with his South Carolina regiment, and one of only eight to serve in the Union Medical Corps. Unfortunately, little is written in the history books about these African-American physicians and their service to our country.
The powers that be decided that the acceptable physicians were white men. So a lot of the information on a lot of these people, the African-Americans, as well as the women, early women physicians, is just people chose not to record it.
After the war, Dr. Alexander Augusta went on to serve on the staff at Howard University. As for Dr. de Grasse, he was presented with a ceremonial surgeon's sword in appreciation for his service. Slauson is doing what he can to tell the stories of these physicians, each of whom deserves a place in history as forerunners of the modern world.
I thought they were heroes. These were people who knew what they wanted and they went after it, and they wanted to serve in the best way that they could. And they were trained as physicians, and that was the best service they could give. And I don't see a difference.
Charlene Israel, CBN News, Columbia, Maryland.
That's so exciting to go back and see history being rediscovered.
Mm-hmm.
Rediscovered. For so long, universities taught history, and then they had a whole nother part of history called black history, American black history. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to look where history's coming together. Our good, our bad, everything that we've done, just kind of being able to tell our story. There's so many things that are happening right now that seems like, man, this is just so good that these things are happening. But at the same time, other things that are happening is like, oh, this is so bad. And it's like, you know, why would you think? Anyway, so we just want to celebrate, you know, Black History Month and be a part of that. As we were talking about the movie that was done by one of the television networks for Coretta King, Dr. King's wife, and Malcolm X's wife was a pretty good one that kind of looked about, you know, their perspective, a wife's perspective. And it was really powerful to watch how Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s wife, her perspective about God and her perspective about her husband and her understanding of the times and how important it was to keep a united front and stay focused on what matters most. Mm-hmm. And obviously her husband was able to do that, but she was able to do it too because obviously her husband was murdered. And so, but she kept the focus. And she kept the focus. And it was just very, it was focused on God and freedom and rights for everyone. And it was just amazing. This is definitely a month we need to really just soak in our history. And then after we learn our history is to tell others about our history, to let them know the contribution of all Americans, including the African-American contribution that was actually written out of our history books. One of those doctors I think about today is Dr. Carlson, who actually served on the Regent University for quite some time, but he was at a prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., and when he spoke, he prayed about what he should speak about, and obviously he heard clearly because he wanted to know what would be the pertinent topic of the day. And the whole United States is talking about it. His book, America the Beautiful, I believe it's called, it's gone to the top number one seller, at least the top three last I heard, but I think it's top one now on Amazon. That was kind of low in the rating prior to him actually speaking. But now people are asking. New York Times asked him to run for president. The New York Times asked him to run for president. And he says very specifically about that is that I'll just pray about it. Leave it up to God. It's not in my plans, but, you know, God has different plans for that. I'm open to whatever he wants to do because he's about retiring from Johns Hopkins, where he's been a doctor there.
Mm-hmm. It's a great movie about his life called Gifted Hands. It's really, really good. And Cuba Gooding Jr., I believe, was his actor that portrayed him. But it's an amazing life story.
Can you put that on the torch, you know, so people can... I think what he stands for is an important lesson for the church right now. And remember this, that when God begins to do something and the adversary gets hint of it, he sends in the counterfeit first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you get a chance to go after the concept, or you get a chance to go after God in the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And the counterfeit's always the concept. We've always been wanting to do this. This is what we needed to do. And people go after that. But then when the true move of God shows up, it has some of the same attributes, but it's totally different. This is God. And one thing that was said, prophesied by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, was that there would be a large revival, a big, big move of God, possibly Third Great Awakening, I forget how he described it, in America, and it'd be led by the African-American people. And when you listen to Dr. Carlson talk and his just normalness,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Normalness and looking at reality and wisdom. And you just think, wow, would that not be a cool thing? That'd be really cool.
Yeah,
but he actually grew up with a mother who couldn't read. And his mother told him to read 3 books a day or a week or something and give her a report on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that, he had no idea how long his mother couldn't read. And of course, she was reading, I guess, the books through his reports. And that just opened up a whole thing for him to be able to do that. And today, yeah, he's a doctor, Johns Hopkins. He served on the Board of Regency University for quite some time. And it's possibly going to be running for president of the United States. It looks like they're definitely getting him ready for that. And he is resigning from Johns Hopkins, so everything's kind of getting lined up.
Interesting.
Wouldn't that be just wonderful if it was just the
refreshing.
Next president of the United States was just a man of God, but and a wise man of God.
Yeah.
Who was authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, spoke a balanced reality and had no agenda other than, you know, what's right before God and man, you know. Mm-hmm. And it would just be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it very well. Let it happen, God.
Right. Your will be done.
Lines our values up. So you can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. We'll be right back. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over 1 billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective of the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Man, I gotta tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And it was hilarious and some of the things. But he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. He loved to cook everything in a pressure cooker. And he was out there at this place that I'm talking about. And he was cooking collard greens. He was cooking collard greens and on the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in and you seal it so tight that air can't get out of it. And if it does, it comes out of a small little area and it builds pressure up inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We had these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And all of a sudden we hear this kaboom!
Oh,
explosion
no.
that took place. And we come running, you know, in there to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere. And he didn't have four hairs on his head. He had greens on his head. There was greens everywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet, and he opened the lid,
I was on,
and it went kaboom! Oh my goodness, that was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust, you got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off, you take it over to the sink, you let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God, and then you open it, because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But then I thought it was just, that was that?
Speaking of grandfather, this is hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to shave. And he used
Your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with, he used to heat the can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can. And he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
What do you
know?
I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh,
let's get back to the story. Come on,
you're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can with his in hot water,
right?
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave. Well,
yeah, it's shaving cream, hot shave. Mm-hmm. But the thing explodes. It can't explode.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere. Yeah. All over his face, all over his body. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, this is a grandfather that you used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one you did that thing to?
All those things, too. It's amazing. It's amazing it boils on in water.
Yeah, right.
We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down and all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and Pat and John is joining us. John, the delicate flower. The delicate flower. I always, you know, he likes his shave is dry and his sandwich is dry.
I know.
Isn't that
right?
Weird? That maybe there's some sort of interrelation, like ever
no
how we shave.
Dry, simple,
that's how our food
simple.
Is.
What happened to you as a child? What,
it was
up
dry.
With that?
Very
it was dry. This was like a desert or something.
Yeah,
I don't
very
know.
Dry.
That's like a desert, maybe. I don't know. Well, people still use cans. Man, my grandfather had collard greens all over his bald head. There was big old greens hanging down over here, like he had hair.
Yeah,
it's like almost
green
like
hair.
He had hair. Yeah. Well, it is time for the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment today comes from Proverbs 18:12. Proverbs 18:12. It reads, "Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor." Let me read that again. Proverbs 18:21, today's wisdom moment. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. It's important for us to recognize a prerequisite before a man falls. If we take note of what took place that led them to fall, we can help prevent our own fall or the fall of others. I mean, clearly the Word of God tells us plainly that pride is what proceeds or comes before a downfall. And of course, the last one to recognize that they're about to fall is someone who's blinded by pride, right?
That's right.
Why it's so important to have relationships. So somebody can look at you and go, What are you doing?
Knock you off.
What happened? Where, don't you remember what you were when you were first called? Oh, yeah, that's right. And it's so important to have somebody like that that knows you, because pride is blinding. And we find out, you know, hey, it's a prerequisite before everything crashes and burns. And pride, you think about it, it's defined as a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority. It's when we begin to take our own counsel over God's, when we begin to perceive ourselves over others. It's when we feel our experience, good or bad, and knowledge trumps all others, including God. It's an intense self-awareness, good or bad, that causes us to begin to self-focus and become aware of ourselves, or prideful. I was always on my mind, right? And this is a downward spiral. This thing always ends in a man's downfall. It always ends. It's like a black hole that just begins to suck that person away. And you think about it, you know, why not be wrong? Because, right? That's what Pastor said. Because. Why not be wrong? Think about it. Why not be wrong? Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not be right? It's so important to realize that we all know in part and we prophesy in part, and that we need God in everything we're doing. We're supposed to trust God with our lives and his plan, and knowing that his plan is better for us than our own. That his reputation is more important to protect than our own reputation. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Hebrews 11:6 says, now, without faith, you can't even please God. See, faith is trusting God's confidence, having confidence and trusting God confidently with ourselves, not focusing on ourselves, denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following the Lord. That's how we can humble ourselves before God. This is demonstrated in our life and shown in our lives by our abiding lifestyle, that we're always going to God for direction and leadership in his word. We're hanging around other people that are going to God, that are abiding with God and seeking his leadership and direction. Why? Because that person is a person like King David that inquires of God. And that is an outward sign of an inward manifestation of somebody who's not prideful. They're looking for God's counsel. But humility that comes before honor, he says, after that, humility is defined as a total dependency on God and respect for other people. When we honor God and throw ourselves upon him and his ways, we begin to see honor in our life. It's amazing. Everything you thought you had to protect, when you just let it fall, when you let it go and trust God with it, it's amazing how God's able to do what you try to do yourself. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. But humility comes before honor.
Wow. That's so amazing. Because you know what? Humility goes such a long way. It goes such a long way. And the whole thing that's what so many people are struggling with today is everything in this world is catered around me, 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 me. And it's not even just the self-absorption. It could even be, you know, negative thoughts about yourself. And so we can take, you know, wisdom, and we can take heed, and we can listen to the word of God and respond appropriately. But it's absolutely awesome. Great word.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at Paul Dugard over in Denmark, and he is still having those meetings in the upper room. I don't know if it's a thousand-year-old farm, a thousand year. In America, this doesn't make sense. Does
that
it?
Doesn't compute.
And
1,000-year farm.
Yeah, he has this upper room that he has meetings, and I had a chance to meet with a lot of leaders there when I was there in Denmark with him. And it's just so cool to be able to see you, Paul, with all your friends and continuing to go after God. And that's a cool upper room. I remember being there with you and Hannah in that room.
I remember when he came over to see us and how pumped he was about Promise Keepers, Denmark, Promise Keepers. It was awesome. But it's also great, you had a chance to go over and minister to the men of Denmark and how they responded. You know, God's doing a great thing all across the world, and there's a hunger that's occurring. There's a hunger in people's heart for more of God. And I just remember that, you know, hearing all about that great move. But the men were hungry. I mean, the men were hungry for authentic relationships with the Lord and also authentic relationships with each other. And we can do this together. The Word of God says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. And every time I think about Paul Dugard, I think about those amazing times and what was happening, you know, in the ministry at the time. It was powerful. And I'm looking forward to seeing those again. I mean, I've talked with other brothers, and they're saying, listen, it's about us going after God, and it's about us being with each other.
You know, all these different things that we're talking about the signs of the times and things taking place, realize that God has some awesome plans in store for the earth and for his people. Many people are going to come rushing to him. He's saving the best for last. He tells us when his first miracle, when he manifests his glory, when he shows his awesomeness, when his mother tells him that go to the master of the banquet here because he has some things he needs you to do. Because they ran out of wine. They ran out of wine. And he turns the water into wine. And the head of the banquet, the man who headed the banquet up, he said, listen, he said, this is the best wine. This is the best wine. Most people have the best wine first, and then as people drink more and more, they bring out the lesser quality of wine. But somebody has saved the best for last. And that's what God is doing. God is awesome. Things are still going to happen, but understand, I think we're getting really close to this end time, and the best is yet to come. But understanding that God, just like he poured out the wine, and as he poured the water, it turned into wine as he poured it. When God's going to begin to pour out his spirit, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, on all flesh. This is a sign of his coming and his soon coming that. And I remember seeing this at the Brownsville Revival, where it didn't matter whether you were a sinner or a repentant. It didn't matter whether you were saved or not saved.
Mm-hmm.
God began to just pour out his spirit on everybody that decided to go after him. And in the end, you found out, who has repented and who didn't, and who was in her. And it's amazing. And many people, because they experienced the goodness of God, they did repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's kindness leads to repentance. But you can see, it's an amazing thing when you begin to see whoever comes after him or comes around him, and he begins to pour himself out. It's just amazing to watch them experience God, the very God that they may have been denying or rejecting a few moments ago. Now they're shouting and testifying about his awesomeness. Why? Because God poured out his spirit. And it's interesting, too, that that those who claim to be some special folk, you know, hey, I do this and I do that, and they're talking about their gift. That it's so unspecial that everybody's going to do moving every gift in the last day. Mm-hmm. You know, there is going to be no, you know, big eyes. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be us, the body of Christ, and God pouring himself out. And we're beginning to see, you know, signs of that with us, you know, the churches that are going after God and abiding with God. And I encourage you, if you've been wondering what program you need next for your church, I got it for you. It's at iabide.org. You need to begin to abide with God and teach others to do the same, and you'll find out that's all you need to do is to hear God and obey God. But this, God is Jesus is saving his best for last. The outpouring, the best wine is about to be poured out in the last days on the face of the earth, and we're just going to see this huge move of God and a great end-time harvest before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And so I want to encourage you, despite what you might be seeing, despite what's being fulfilled in our very faces, all the prophetic fulfillments that are taking place, understand that the kingdom of God is forever. The greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord is able to protect you, though 1,000 falls at your right side and 10,000 at your left. Nothing's going to come near you because God is with you. Understand these things will be happening, but you will be protected and that by God, and others will see how you're protected and they'll be drawn to God because you just stood for God in the midst when everybody else was actually falling apart emotionally and all these different things taking place. Many people will be saved just by watching God in your life. And so the best is for last. He says he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the prophet Joel talked about it as well. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know, all his ministry and all of his miracles and everything he did, he said, listen, greater things will you do than he did because he's going to be with the Father. Listen, there's a greater move coming. There's a greater move coming. And God's looking for someone who will believe him for this greater move. Somebody that will believe him and say, God, I want to be a part of that. To be a Charles Seymour that just cries out to God and say, God, I want that in my generation. You know, I want an outpouring. We talk about outpourings. That's what it is. God's pouring out his spirit. God just pours out his spirit in a powerful way, and people begin to be transformed. Cities begin to be transformed. Even nations begin to be transformed. America is a very large nation geographically, but it's 300 million people. But it doesn't take long for things to spread across this nation and begin to become a part of its culture. Well, understand with God, that can take place. And understand, he said it, that the best is yet to come, that there's going to be a great outpouring. God has saved his best for last, which means what? That you can raise your expectations. You can raise your expectations and say, you know what, God? I believe you. I want to receive that. I want to be a part of what's taking place in the world. In my generation, I do not want to leave this earth with any regrets. I want to do everything I can for you during the time that you've given me right here. I want to be one that it forcefully advances your kingdom on the face of the earth. Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm willing to go to a nation. I'm willing to go to a people group who haven't even heard about you yet. I'm willing to go to the young people where most people, I believe 80% of people who find God and accept Jesus is under 18 years of age. Think about it. That's a ministry from 4 to 14 that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, you want to be a part? Be a part by beginning to preach the kingdom of God and move in repentance. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.